Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Yo, good morning. It's August 3rd. It's the first show of August. You're now listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territories, here from the studio on UBC's campus. If you've never listened to the show before, you're in for a treat today because we have a lot to talk about. What we do here is we talk a little bit about BC. We talk a lot about North America. We talk a lot about politics, some funny stuff, we talk about a little bit of everything. And if you'd like to contribute to what we talk about, you can go check the Facebook page at facebook.com/offthebeatenpath, or you can tweet at offthebeatenpath, or you can write on my personal page, East Aryan. I had a lot of people commenting yesterday on a story about Colin Kaepernick, yet all of those people scared to call into the radio because 100%, I can't wait till I get to embarrass someone live on air for the stupid things that they are willing to say on the internet. However, they know better than to speak them in truth. Here in BC, you know, we like to talk a little bit about the weather and what's going on. And if you're not listening from BC, I'm going to let you know. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about wildfires that have been going on here and some of the effects that have had on the people in greater BC, like the parts of British Columbia that I'll never see. Well, maybe I will see, because if you don't know, my visa has been renewed. So anyone, any of my friends who have been thinking about coming to visit me and in the past 2 years been like, you know, Issa's been really busy. I don't know if I'll get the chance to visit him because he might be coming back to the States soon. Wrong, wrong, wrong. I'm pretty much here for good. They've allowed your boy to stay. But back to the weather. So the wildfires have really affected Metro Vancouver with this haze. It looks scary. Like, you can barely see the sun, and it smells like smoke outside. And what is being caused by is all of the ash that's coming from the west, eastern coast of British Columbia. It's coming to the west. And what it's causing is, it's causing like this effect where it's super hot, but it's cool at the same time because we don't get any sunlight. And for the next about a week and a half, it's supposed to be sunny. But when they say sunny, it just means no rain, because technically it's just hot and smells like smoke. There's really nothing more than that. This weekend should be really nice with 30 degrees weather, which is about 85. And for today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, I have a sailing race. So that's looking really nice for the weekend. So get outside. Not if you have respiratory issues. Stay your asses inside and have a good time. So let's jump right in it. We got a lot to get to today. In the second half of the show, we'll be having one of my political correspondents will be calling in to talk a little bit about what's really going on. But for right now, we're going to talk about so that little boy that we talked last week who biked all the way from Stanley Park all the way to New West, who was found safe, gave a special thank you to all the people who helped him. And it seemed as if, like, if I was that little boy, I wouldn't give a thank you to anybody. After you bike about 15, 20 kilometers and you don't get help until New West, I'm not thanking anybody who saw me stressed. Because you know that little boy had tears in his eyes while he's pedaling hard as shit, you know, standing on top of his bike, you know, looking like he's leaving the sandlot. Nobody helped him. So if I was him, I would definitely not thank people. I mean, obviously I was going to thank the officer who let me use his phone. But other than that, everybody else can kick rocks. Like, they didn't even care for his safety. But, you know, well, at least he was found safe. Then his parents seemingly, who lost him first, seem to, you know, be raising a young, smart man. So the next generation, it looks like there's hope for him. You know, we like to talk a lot here about the housing situation here in BC. And a study came out that says Vancouver has a lot of bed bugs, but not as many bed bugs as Ontario or Winnipeg. I guess which I guess is a silver lining. I've never experienced bed bugs, and it's not something that I'm looking forward to. So if you have bed bugs in Vancouver, please stay from around me, because I feel like giving somebody bed bugs is almost worse than giving somebody an STD. Now, I don't want to get into that, because like bed bugs, those don't go away. It takes time. You got to wash your sheets and get a new bed. New mattresses are expensive. STD, go to pharmacy. This is a weird way to start the show. However, you'll understand that sometimes we go off the beat and path. We have a lot of new music coming out of Vancouver in the past, it seems like, few weeks. We've recognized a lot of new artists, and that had nothing to do with bed bugs, but it does have to do with real estate, because we often talk about how expensive real estate here. And this past week, median real estate prices, so including condos, townhomes, single-family units, have reached over $1 million. So while I'll be able to stay in Canada for the next foreseeable future, I'll never be able to afford a house here, given the current rate. I think that as we start to see housing prices really get out of reach for regular people, or, you know, people with, regular people, I think I'm going to try to start a trend where we GoFundMe for houses. So I'm going to create a GoFundMe page. I'm trying to buy a house. Listen, in this house, I'm not a selfish person. If you know me, you're my friend, or you don't know me personally, you know that I am a very, very unselfish person. I have this, I have a vision. Like, if you've never been to Point Grey, they have these beautiful mansions in Point Grey. So big. Looks like Tony Montana's house from Scarface. Not the first one. Or if you've ever played Grand Theft Auto, Vice City. It's not the first one. It's the one on Star Island, where it's got the pillars in the front. It's got the pool in the back. It's got the garden with the hedges shaped like animals. All of that. There's a ton of these houses here in Point Grey that are not being used. And I feel like we could drum up enough support where we could GoFundMe a house, and we could make it the most dope resort for people like me in Vancouver. And so if you'd like to contribute to this, contribute to the vision, or if you'd like to talk to me about the vision, you can call in at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. And maybe we can get it going. I feel as if that's what the city's missing. The city is really missing people. Like, the city's got a lot of cool people. They're just very poor. The city has a lot of rich people who are not cool. You might see these people going to Dre's, or trying to entice you to come to their parties, because you see so many people here driving in Ferraris and Lambos, like young people. Like, just trying to, trying to find a little bit of the cool. And they can't seem to find it. However, they could contribute to the GoFundMe, and I will invite them to mingle with the cool. And maybe some of the cool will rub off on them. Or maybe they can know their role. Like, everybody has a role in a friends group. And everybody needs to know their role in the friends group so that the friends group can operate at maximum efficiency. And sometimes all friends groups need a financer. And listen, the financer has to know his role. Like, your role is not to be cool. Your role is not to talk to anybody. Your role is to shut the hell up and just finance fun. Moving on. There was a study. I'm going to link two studies together, because that's what we do here. We try to blend it all so we can bring you maximum knowledge. So there was a study done here in BC where it's talking about how families are becoming more common with less children, or in studies without children at all, are becoming very common here in BC. And if you've been reading anything from CNN or anything about family planning in the past few years, you've learned that this is not just a BC problem. This is a world, this is a like a North American problem where people are continuing to have less children and feel comfortable, and because they don't feel comfortable not only bringing people, not only bringing children into the world, but they can't afford it. Basically, the expenses of living have outgained like the thoughts of having children. So people are putting off having children later and having less children in general. This is a problem when you think about, you know, all of the services that we have here, particularly to help, what's it called? All the services we have here to subsidize for like the elderly, like Medicare, Medicaid, it's really being paid for by the people who work now. So that's one of the big issues when it comes to thinking about how that's going to look like in the future, particularly in the United States. We need more people working so that we can afford to take care of the older people. And eventually, if we don't have enough people to take care of older people, then everybody loses. So if you've ever like heard of people having large families, and I know that it's typical in families like mine where the children normally take care of the parents and the children and the grandchildren take care of the parents and the grandparents. It's just a cycle. And so when people continue to have kids, they it's like an expectation that you will you'll just buy in and you take care of your family. But if people are having less kids, who's like, the only reason I want to have kids is because I want them to take care of me when I'm older. Like I like kids. I like coaching kids. I like being around kids. They're fun, but I don't actually want one at my house. You know, it's like, that's how I feel about most animals. Like I like being around dogs and I like having them at the park and I like taking them and teaching them tricks and, you know, they're just fun. And sometimes they help you pick up women. But I don't actually want one at my house. Like, I don't want to have to walk it every day or pay to feed it. Pick up its, you know what I'm saying, scat when it, you know, if it poops someplace I don't want it to. And that's how I feel about kids. Except for the fact that a dog will never, ever take care of you when you get older. But a human, as he gets older, feels pretty obligated to take care of your parents as long as you weren't a shite parent. Like, if you were a pretty decent parent, you should be able to reasonably expect your kid to take care of you. But back to the story. People are having less kids. And it's a cause for concern because as we as a society, we need kids to go along. And a study came out here. And if you go to bbc.com or you can go to Off the Beaten Path, the Facebook page, it talks about how sperm count drop could make humans extinct. Now, it's interesting to hear that both people are having less kids, people are having kids later, and sperm count drop could make humans extinct, except when you look at the study. So researchers assessed, this is what the study says, researchers assessed the results of nearly 200 studies that say sperm count among men from North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand seem to have halved in 40 years. So, like, when I first read the story, I was worried. And then I read where the study was from. I said, North America. I feel like when they talk about North Americans, they ain't talking about me. I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Because I don't feel like people in my community are having an issue having babies. I went to high school less than 40 years ago, and I'm 100% confident to say people in my high school sperm count was not suffering. And I feel like there's evidence by the number of babies that we had being born while I was in high school. Not only did we have the number of babies, like one baby, but I know people who had multiple kids by the time they graduated high school. And if this study was accurate, well, this study could be accurate because we didn't have very many, quote-unquote, North Americans in my school. But it says North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand seem to have halved in 40 years. And it also says in the same study that there has been no significant decline seen in South America, Asia, or Africa. So I feel like this study should say white people have a problem where they need to have more kids. And not only do they need to have more kids because their sperm count is lowering, but they need to have more kids because who's going to take care of them when they get older? I mean, I'm surely not going to. And just like that, we are going to go into the commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about Colin Kaepernick and some of the people who look really, really stupid, including my favorite football team, which I just might have to quit. And I'll tell you why when we come back.
Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Control myself, and I'll be falling in love.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. That was Jay Glavany with Fallen, a new song. And he's actually one of the new artists here out of Vancouver. So if you like the music, you can check out his SoundCloud. I said we were going to talk about Colin Kaepernick, but I lied. Because we're going to talk about that a little later. I feel like there are some more important issues that we should cover. I would like to get into those. So an article in the USA Today came out and said, marijuana moms say smoking pot makes them better parents. Now, like, I have been all for the legalization of marijuana for a pretty long time. Even before I started smoking weed, I felt like people getting arrested for weed was stupid. I thought that in high school, so let's take this back. In high school, I didn't smoke weed. I was like, nah, I'm not smoking weed. Like, I am a football player, and I play baseball. And so I was just, like, so focused on sports in school that I felt like weed was a distraction. I also felt like alcohol was a distraction, so I didn't do much of either. So, like, I've always felt like, you know, I've always had, like, this, but I never felt that people should be arrested for it. Like, I never felt like anybody I ever knew smoked weed and did anything stupid besides, like, skip school and just hang out. And so even that evolved as I moved into college, like, where I started seeing people who were very high functioning. Like, I think that it was part of the people who I saw who smoked weed in high school, they just weren't doing anything. They weren't doing good or bad. They just weren't doing anything. And at 16, that's pretty bad because that's when you should start doing shit, you know, for your life. But when I got to college, I started seeing like a lot of and started meeting like a lot of high functioning people who smoked weed, like people who were smarter than me and did more things than I did and were better at football than I was. And so it kind of changed my perception about it. But still, never thought anybody should get arrested for it. Rarely thought people should be drug tested for it, and then never thought that it really affected much of anything. And so when the legalization of marijuana come around here in, where it's like it's been gaining a lot of steam since like 2014, 2015. Here in 2017, we're in like full mainstream weed, like where weed is so prevalent, it's not even cool anymore. Like nobody even wants to smoke it because USA Today is talking about how smoking weed makes people better moms. And I just can't, it's hard to ignore like the hypocrisy of this like weed propaganda, what's been going on. When we've been, not only have we been like shunning people who smoke weed, but we've actually been criminalizing so many people who smoke weed. Like millions of people have had their lives ruined by being arrested for just the flower. And now being praised on USA Today. So it's, I always talk about like the, there's so much like racism prevalent in our society, and the legalization of marijuana like has so highlighted that it's really hard to feel how people continue to ignore, not only because it's bigger than just marijuana, not only just the marijuana, but the idea that not like, people have been arrested historically have been minorities like Spanish and Hispanic and black people. And not only that, but if you look at, so in Ohio, there were 24 licenses given for the legalization of marijuana. And out of those, it was like 83 applicants. Out of those 83 applicants who applied for those 24 licenses, like who had the full applications done, only one was a minority. So we won't find out until September actually who will be awarded those licenses. But even if the one of the 24 was able to get the license, that what's that, like 4%? It's not, you know, it's very small percentage. However, we've seen in other states where marijuana has become legalized, where the people making money off of it don't look anything like the people who have been going to jail for it. And I feel like we need to start thinking about these larger sources, larger forces. But I didn't want to get into that too much. Like, we are in the midst of Donald Trump presidency. And like I said from the beginning, I feel like he's going the distance, you know, as sad as it seems. Like, I have a genuine feel like he's going the distance. And with that, like, comes lots of policy changes. And one of those policies that he's continuing to harp on is immigration. And so if there is a act called the RAISE Act that is continuing to be pushed through the Senate, which is really going to limit the types of immigrants, one, not only the types of immigrants who can come to the United States, but you know, what these immigrants look, sound like, and what their jobs and professions are. And here is Donald Trump's senior advisor, talking about what the Statue of Liberty means in terms of immigrants.
What you're proposing, or what the president's proposing here, does not sound like it's in keeping with American tradition when it comes to immigration. The Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Doesn't say anything about speaking English or being able to be a computer programmer. Aren't you trying to change what it means to be an immigrant coming into this country if you're telling them you have to speak English? Can't people learn how to speak English when they get here?
First of all, right now, it's a requirement that to be naturalized, you have to speak English. So the notion that speaking English wouldn't be a part of our immigration systems would be actually very ahistorical. Secondly, I don't want to get off into a whole thing about history here, but the Statue of Liberty is a symbol of liberty enlightening the world. It's a symbol of American liberty lighting the world. The poem that you're referring to that was added later is not actually part of the original Statue of Liberty, but more fundamentally,
So
that's Stephen Miller, Donald Trump's senior political advisor. And so, like, talking about immigration, like, I feel very close to the issue, because from where I'm from, well, one, my father is an immigrant. And I don't really feel like you have to have, like, a personal connection, a familiar connection to actually care about these issues. But, you know, it does affect me and my friends, like, pretty heavy. And so, like, where I'm from, most of everyone I know is an immigrant who came from this country, whose parents came from this country, whose parents brought them over with them. And just the idea that, like, we make all of these limits on crossing these imaginary borders, you know, particularly, like, when we make these rules that make it, like, very difficult for people who are just seeking out better lives. So, like, the idea that making people come here who speak English before they come to the United States, I feel like there's so many good people who have come to the United States who didn't know a lick of English before they moved here. And they come here, they live great lives, they raise great children. They have higher birth rates than these potential people who speak English in other countries. It just seems like this is just like another like punch in the stomach. It's unnecessary. And as we continue to find out about like these unnecessary stances and these unnecessary acts that Donald Trump has continued to have, and not only Trump but his administration, and not only the administration but the people and the supporters and the people who continue to fight for these things that we don't need as a country. We continue to like just set ourselves back. Like, it's ridiculous. When in a few moments, I'll be getting my friend Ben on the phone to discuss a little bit about like what has actually been going on while we are pretty focused on things like the mooch and immigration. So, stay tuned. You're going to be listening to some new music from Little Sims, another Canadian artist here. I just need to-
sunset, touchdown in Dubai, where the ganja's hella dank and the air is hella dry. Remy blowing, my shit flowing. Thought I told you, million dollar pen, don't make me show you. Yeah, curtains automatic and sedan. Got a couple hood niggas, couple gentlemen. Save your ass from out the hood, fly your ass out to Japan. Buy the KFC, have some pad thai in Thailand. Motorbikes on Paris streets, boy, you know that I'm the man. Them hollering at me, what you saying out in London? Airport security, tryna fuck with me in customs. Come fuck with me in customs, leave my team in customs.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen, flight 481 to San Francisco has been delayed due to maintenance malfunction.
Ooh, I got my passport stamped and I'm good. You ain't been living, enjoying life the way you should. Want you to understand me, shit, I've been so misunderstood. This liquor comes in handy, have that Sprite mixed with some brandy. On the beach somewhere, I'm good. One-way ticket to where it's at. Out in New Zealand, shit, I don't know when I'll be back. Trying to get you to come fuck with me. There's way more than just a city. Put your finger on the map. Choose a place to book it now, just say the word. Getting money on a low, how it all goes. Treating all these niggas here like they've been hoes. You should fly out, come and see it firsthand, cause there's no way you can get the gist from the photos. I ain't playing with ya, no time for the games with ya. Speak up, you saying nigga. See, they want us to be small, but we stay bigger. Ain't no hiding away from the sun when the rays hit ya. Don't worry about the images that they picture. Your people are good here if they came with ya. New lifestyle, so new life. Good things come to you if you do right. I put your ass on a flight to my city, it's my city. Ain't got a ass twice to ride with me. I land, they grab my bags. Driver, tell me what's the plan.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. And I'm with Mr. Cohn. How you doing, man?
Doing very well. A little bit sleepy this morning after our late show last night, but I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Yeah, so we were just talking a little bit about this RAISE Act that is being pushed through Congress, this potentially changing how we think about immigration here. And but moving into like some stuff that is pretty serious. Can you want to get into that?
Yeah. So we had talked about in our group chat, Bill Browder and the Magnitsky Act, which when they sort of started talking about the meeting between Russian lawyers and Donald Trump Jr. during the campaign trail, the Trump campaign had said, this is about childhood adoptions. Which, in its broadest terms, and in this really interesting story about Bill Browder, I guess that it is. But the Magnitsky Act was put into place by the United States Congress after Bill Browder's lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, was jailed and tortured to death in prison in Russia for helping, expose corruption within the oligarchy of Russia. And as a retaliation, what Russia has done is actually a retaliation to the sanctions. Russia basically denied Americans the ability to adopt children from Russia, which had been sort of in favor for a number of years, late 90s and 2000s.
Were people adopting Russian kids at a high rate?
I don't have the number on that. I'm not going to lie to you, but apparently.
Oh, I've never seen it. I feel like I've never seen a Russian. I guess how would I know the kid was Russian?
I don't know. That seems anecdotal. I'm not really positive either way.
Sorry.
But, no. So the long and short of it is, I'd actually heard a podcast with this guy Browder talking about the sort of insane experience that happened with his lawyer Sergei Magnitsky and why that all came about, and then he actually testified before Congress mid last week when I think most of the U.S. media was kind of wrapped up in the Scaramucci, the Mooch tirade.
Yeah.
And auto fellatio of White House employees. And so this has been sort of a really interesting story that we only barely got to touch on in our chat, but I thought it was something that it's so wild.
Yeah. So can you explain like why this is important to Russia and why we should care about it?
So according to Browder and Browder's testimony, Vladimir Putin is one of the richest men in the world. He has, untold billions in assets. What the Magnitsky Act did was set a list of Russian-based violators of human rights, basically, and freeze their ability to move assets through the United States, which, hurts their ability to transact anywhere globally. And why this matters, I think, so importantly, is according to the testimony, you've got huge foreign powers who have extremely vested interest in getting these sanctions reduced or put away, because it ultimately, number one, frees up a ton of cash for Putin and the oligarchs of Russia, but it also it adds to, I think, some of the basis of Vladimir Putin's power in Russia, in that he's able to say that, through his different mechanisms of maintaining power and leadership of business, that he now has the United States as a, financial entity where money can be stashed, invested, what have you. So when we discuss, and when Browder goes through his testimony, he speaks of the ways that he thinks that Russia has worked to sort of compromise foreign agents at large. When we talk about why Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. particularly taking this meeting is so scary, it's that they think that there's a possibility that the United States has been compromised and is going to have to sort of cater to those whims. Long story short, they're worried that reducing these sanctions is only going to empower Russia more, and Russia is getting the ability to implement those through non-diplomatic means.
Yeah, and that's just and that's troublesome, because we know that Vladimir Putin kills people.
According to everything we've seen, that's just not the case. But there's some heavy sarcasm in that statement.
It's also wild that Samucci was there for 11 days, and I saw that on the day that Browder was originally supposed to testify was the day that Donald Trump said he was going to ban transgender people from the military.
So that's an interesting question. Do you think that the Trump administration is using sensationalism?
Nah, he wouldn't do that.
No, you don't think so?
No, nah, like, Donald Trump
kind of like
do
Putin
that.
Doesn't kill people.
Yeah. He wouldn't do that.
He wouldn't do that.
Like I mean, and now I think that it's very hard to like navigate, because banning transgender people from the army is like a legitimate concern for tens of thousands of transgender people in the military, not just for the people who are in the military who are transgender, but I feel like the people who trust those people with their lives, like, you know, they have jobs in the military and that are protecting actual people. So sensationalism. It feels like that. But it's like, I guess it only works when you drum it up like very real concerns for people. It wouldn't work if it was just always BS all the time.
So, first of all, can I swear on the radio?
Some words.
No, okay. Yeah. We'll keep it cool. What is the point of banning transgender individuals in the United States military? I mean, first of all, I think it's good that the leaders of the Coast Guard and the Navy, and I believe one other Army branch, have actually spoken out and saying, we're going to support our transgender soldiers who have transgender gay. Who are a part of the service now and are serving admirably alongside every other manner of human in the Army. The fact of the matter is, signing up for the Army is signing up to die. You've decided that you are going to come and you are going to put your life on the line for the betterment of country. And to be denied that because of something that is, I mean, the character or the rationale that Trump gave for this in a tweet, mind you, this being expensive, is so incredibly naive and incredibly frustrating for me. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. It's just about how the country is willing to spend $80 million on hard dicks and not on, you can say dicks on the radio, but not and not on and not on transgender people. And so like Donald Trump continuing to push these things that I feel that Donald Trump cares very little about. Like I don't feel like Donald Trump gives a damn about if transgender people are in the army or not. So it feels so personally, it feels like, you know, there is he understands how to control like the outrage and then like slip in some other things underneath.
Well, so that's interesting. You're right. I don't think he cares one bit. I mean, he doesn't know what it's like to serve in the military. I think he cares mostly about the sentiment behind it and sort of engendering himself to his base, which he sees would find this as a, you know, another act of power. It was interesting to listen to. Have you ever listened to Pod Save America?
No, I haven't.
It's a bunch of the old White House staffers. John Favreau, the guy who was Obama's speechwriter for 8 years, one of the best. I mean, really, really interesting guys, and really interesting to hear them sort of take the, you know, Washington insider, you know, approach and understanding to a lot of the things that are going on and make it make sense for lay people like us. But their take on all of this is Trump doesn't care about the policy behind this. Policy takes months or years to craft or create. You know, to really build a policy around banning transgender people from the military means that you have to sit down with generals and admirals and, you know, the Veterans Affairs Administration and really build how you're going to do that. Trump sat down, had some early morning fried chicken, popped open Twitter, and just said, no more. That's it. He cares nothing about the policy of not just this, but many other things, and cares completely about how it engenders him to continue feeding his power base.
Yeah, and that's pretty telling, and it's scary. And so, I thank you. I want to thank you for being on. I guess when we get back from this music break, we're going to talk a little bit about the same thing, about how that base is tries to empower people to get jobs, but is keeping one man unemployed. So thanks, Ben. I appreciate you for coming on.
Thank you.
Good, and talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
I was duped, didn't know the truth. Got rid of my whole flame, now I got a boo. And now I'm feeling cool, I'm feeling brand new. I would pay a lot to be the nigga in my shoes.
Who this for?
This is dedicated to my ex-lovers. Hope that you hear this, never find another. Me and my friends, we don't worry or pretend. Hope you play this at your wedding, yeah, the one I won't attend. This is dedicated to my ex-lovers. Hope that you hear this, never find another. Me and my friends, we don't worry or pretend. Hope you play this at your wedding, yeah, the one I won't attend.
Vultures at the altar, tell the pastor to watch his back. My girl said she wanted change and then she got a quarterback. Well, damn, I ain't no football player, no. But I hit it harder than a football player. True. The girl of my dreams just became a girl. Yeah. Well, we can talk about that later. Yeah. Honeymoon in your hometown. Damn. Bitch, you broke now. True. Your mama ask about me almost every week. Deacon speaking tongue, talking about forever, hold your peace. Yeah. I said peace, please, hurry up and kiss so I could eat. Touch it, rolling your tippy toe. Yeah. So much soul that my soul got so. True. Your auntie and uncle, they love me. Yeah. All your bridesmaids wanna fuck me. Your groom look like a broom, and it make me ha ha ha. Girl, I could've been your pap, and you be my Remy Ma.
Hey. I was duped,
didn't know the truth. Got rid of my whole flame, now I got a boo. And now I'm feeling cool, I'm feeling brand new. I would pay a lot to be the nigga in my shoes.
Who this for?
This is dedicated to my ex-lovers. Hope that you hear this, never find another. Me and my friends, we don't worry or pretend. Hope you play this at your wedding, yeah, the one I won't attend. This is dedicated to my ex-lovers. Hope that you hear this, never find another. Me and my friends, we don't worry or pretend. Hope you play this at your wedding, yeah, the one I won't attend.
Yes, I've been ballin', yeah. Maybe it's the Lambos and Rari, yeah. Bracelet Cartier, yeah. Take off your clothes, we get naughty, yeah. Whole party lit, bad bitches everywhere. Gang in this bitch, Northside extraordinaire. Pipe up the city, the diamonds gon' light up the city. I got your girl on the low. I slide in and then I'ma dive in it. I got a cell on her soul. Pick up my bags in a row. White diamonds look like the Pope. Gucci Python on the loafers. Yeah, my pinky look just like the ocean. It's colder, not the colder. From the bowl to the chauffeurs. Having fun in a roaster. In Milan, cop and Goya. Now that I'm taking over. Your hand out, but I don't owe you. I came from the dirt, so
I was duped, didn't know the truth. Got rid of my whole flame, now I got a boo. And now I'm feeling cool, I'm feeling brand new. I would pay a lot to be the nigga in my shoes. This is dedicated to my ex-lovers.
You back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. You're listening to M&A with Wedding Crashers. We want to thank Mr. Cohn for coming on and giving that very, very intelligent brief about what is actually going on, and particularly in the United States, regards to Russia, and why you should actually give a damn about it. Because that's the part that I feel like I find the most disconnected, is that like finding out why you should care is just as important as knowing what's going on. So we got a lot of things to get through in the next 7 minutes. We're going to start with Ravens, with the Ravens. Like, the Ravens are my favorite football team. Since 1996, when they first came back, I don't know if it was because they had a receiver named Michael Jackson, who just passed away a few weeks ago. He had a receiver named Michael Jackson. The same year, my aunt bought me the History Michael Jackson, the double disc. So I love Michael Jackson. I love the receiver Michael Jackson. The new team with the purple and black. It was just meant to be for me to be a Ravens fan. I didn't like the Redskins because I never really liked the Redskins. I don't really know why, but I'm glad that I was never a fan, because now I don't have to like support that sorry team historically, and the name is terrible. But so the Ravens had an opportunity to sign Colin Kaepernick, and they completely messed it up. Not only did they mess it up for us, like, Ravens fans, we know Joe Flacco is trash. Like, Joe Flacco, he's a quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens right now. Was it 2011? He really bet on himself. He went into his final year of the contract and ended up winning the Super Bowl. Really, like, I like to talk about the Ravens have won two Super Bowls, but really that second one was luck. If you remember the AFC Championship game when they were playing the Broncos, and we had a Hail Mary, and the Broncos cornerback just fell. Like, he didn't even – it was like he didn't even try for the ball. And we ended up scoring on a Hail Mary, which got us to the Super Bowl. And then we won the Super Bowl after the lights went out. And it was great. And so we had an opportunity to sign the quarterback who's playing on the other side, who also hasn't had the greatest few seasons since then. Neither has Joe Flacco. And our backup quarterback is Ryan Mallett, who sucks. And not only does he suck, he oversleeps for meetings. He's late. He's just he's trash. I actually went to football camp with Ryan Mallett. I would say, was it 2006? We went to the University of Michigan football camp, and that was when I was playing quarterback. We ended up being in the same group, and while I say Ryan Mallett sucked, he was 100% like 4 or 5 times better than me in high school. Like, he was a beast. However, he was a shitty person back then, shitty person now. Just because you're making a lot of money doesn't mean that people should actually care about you. But anyways, the Ravens had an opportunity to sign a good quarterback. We had the opportunity to sign a decent quarterback. And Biscotti cares more about the racist fans from the Eastern Shore than he does about the people who actually live in Baltimore who support the Ravens. And there's a lot of them. And so the problem is, one of the problems I feel like that he has as a football team is that, like, the Baltimore Police Department can't stop messing up. Not like messing up. Can't stop doing just downright dirty stuff. We've seen a video come out for the second time in the past month of police officers planting drugs in someone's car, which has led to like the drop charges of like 56 people in the last month. So it's not only that the Baltimore Police Department is just like any regular police department. They're like extra dirty. And not only are they extra dirty, they're extra dirty on camera. And they're not only the extra dirty on camera once, but they can't stop being dirty. It's like almost as if corruption is built into the fabric of the Baltimore Police Department. You know, it would be crazy if somebody had made a TV show about it. But, you know, I digress. Because it's not just Baltimore that's bad. Listen, the NAACP, now if you don't know what the NAACP, it's for the advancement of colored people, the National Association of Advancement of Colored People throughout the United States. And the NAACP issued a statewide travel advisory for black people in the state of Missouri. It says, travel to Missouri at your own risk. That's crazy. Can you imagine that? The NAACP has to release a statement that says, travel to Missouri at your own risk. Good for them. Listen, I already knew not to go to Missouri. Like, there's states that I'll just never go to. I have no business there. I got no business in Missouri. No reason to ever go to Missouri. As far as I'm concerned, only thing good about Missouri is St. Lunatics. And I feel like even they got out of there. So, listen, if you listen to the show and you're black, don't go to Missouri. It's dangerous. The NAACP told me so. Listen, stay to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. And there's nothing good there except for those arches. And I think that there's about 40 monuments in the United States better than those damn arches. So skip it. If we talked a little bit last week about HBO coming out with the show called Confederate, where the directors and the creators of the show, Game of Thrones, had a show where they wanted to make a show where slavery never ended. It just modernized, which is kind of ironic because that's how we feel today. Well, anyways, a few days ago, an alt history show has been released that has been being developed on Amazon about somebody called it the opposite when it's not the opposite. Like the opposite, the fan fiction of these white writers is that slavery never ended, and the fan fiction of Aaron Magruder, who's the creator of the Boondocks, is where black people were given reparations they were owed, and they decided to create a nation called New Colonia in what would now be Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi. And so to create like a new country, and like what would that look like? And so that's the concept of the show. And this was released. And it's crazy to me that like the opposite of perpetual slavery in some people's minds is black Americans having their own country, like not having their own country and enslaving white people, or like rising up from slavery and killing all anyone who had to do with slavery or any of business practices of slavery. No, just having their own country and the struggles that come along with creating a new nation and things like that. If I had HBO subscription, I'd cancel it after Game of Thrones is over. Clearly, if they were smart, they would try to get this show shooting before Game of Thrones is over, because once Game of Thrones is over, I feel like, and this Confederate pops off, people are going to be torrenting a lot more HBO. So we're almost finished. Just one more thing I would like to talk about. So there was, in Germany, there's a bookkeeper from Auschwitz who has been labeled fit for prison, says the German prosecutor. So they're about to send a 96-year-old former Nazi SS accountant to jail. Now, Germany has spent decades upon decades upon decades trying to rid itself of this Nazi scourge that has really tainted German people since World War II. And they are willing to even send a 90, you know, you can't even get a pardon for a 96-year-old man to say he's unfit for prison. No, that man has helped in the murder of millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people. He should go to jail. Now, I don't understand. Now, if we, like, praise Germany for that, yet in the United States, or even here in Canada, you know, we can't talk about people who had a direct influence, like, on residential schools or in Jim Crow South or in these. We can't even get police officers to go to jail who kill people on camera. Germany's out here sending 96-year-old jails. I feel like Canada, United States needs to do better. And that is my time. I'd like to thank you for being with me for the entire hour. You guys have a blessed weekend. We're here every Thursday from 7 to 8. If you'd like to listen, we have podcasts up on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath, facebook.com/offthebeatenpath. If you'd like to listen to my other show where we play the hottest new hip hop here in Canada and the whole North America, you can listen to us on crimesandtreasons.com. I'm out.